Flashback Twin Cities. Tom Osmond here on a gloomy but warm summer day here. In July with me is Tom.
Howdy do.
It seems like it's been a month since we've been together.
I know. You've been traveling on a special assignment, always over holidays, it seems like.
It's amazing how that happens, right?
It's weird.
Yeah. Well, it's lots of things happened over the last few weeks. Superman Man of Steel came out, and this hard-hitting story came out. I'm not sure if you talked about it last week because I was not able to listen to the show. But Captain Crunch, the validity of his captainship was questioned.
Oh, no.
No, so you guys, so this was not top story last week, I assume.
No, for some reason that just didn't quite make it. But who would question the validity of him? I mean, he could be an admiral.
Well, here's a story. This is from Mail Online of the UK. Cap'n Crunch. America's beloved mascot, who has stood at the helm of the breakfast cereal for more than four decades, has found himself in the middle of controversy when it was alleged that he is not, in fact, a captain. In a blog entry posted last Friday on the site FoodBeast, so this is a blog, is questioning this, therefore it's become...
Oh, it's a blog. As we've determined before, these are
always legitimate. This is validity, right. Writer Charisma Matarang revealed that while the mustache Cap'n blue uniform displays three yellow stripes on his cuff. U.S. Navy regulations state that a captain is marked by four stripes.
That is correct.
The part, though, that disturbs me more than anything is the captain has four fingers. So, it's like Bart Simpson and Homer and Marge. They all have four fingers.
That's right. But
we've not questioned their validity as human beings.
Well, they did do an episode where they wondered what they'd look like if they were drawn in a crazy way, and they looked completely human.
And you and I are the only ones that understand that right
oh,
now.
No,
that joke right now.
Their reaction was, ah.
In other words, Horatio Magellan Crunch is not a cap'n. Apparently, that's his real name.
Horatio?
Horatio Magellan Crunch is not a cap'n. And I'm saying cap'n because that's how it's pronounced here. As he has been known since 1963, but rather only a lowly commander.
Commander Crunch is pretty cool, though.
Brouhaha surrounding his alleged demotion in rank and accusations of treason online. A lot of treason going on in this country.
What?
The fictional cereal mascot was forced to take to his Twitter feed to refute the allegations. All hearsay and misunderstandings, I, Captain, the SS Goopy with my crew, which makes me an official Cap'n, Mr. Crunch, tweeted Monday to his 14,000 followers, along with a hashtag... Crunch chastising rumors. Cap'n Crunch clearly knows that what he's talking about. Master's Handbook on Ship's Business states that a sea captain is a licensed mariner in ultimate command of the vessel, irrespective of rank.
I'm going to bring out my pop culture knowledge here. It's the Guppy, the SS USS Guppy.
Thank you.
Aha, I'm here for you.
I just know who the Soggies are. One of the Soggies ruined cereal. See, we didn't need Cap'n Crunch because the toys weren't that good in Cap'n Crunch.
They're like the Cavity Gang, those guys.
That's right. And again, you and I are the only ones who know that in this studio right now. Or in this listenership. The cartoon mascot addressed the Cap'n Gate once again Tuesday, revealing himself as a Shakespeare aficionado when he paraphrased a verse from Romeo and Juliet. So much fuss about my name. Oh, be some other name. What's in a name? That, which we all Cap'n Crunch, by any other name, would taste as sweet. I'm kind of getting lost here in the story, but it's pretty
funny. It's fascinating, though.
It was not before internet wits jumped aboard Cap'n Kerfuffle, trying to justify his captain rank. Okay, this was the hot story. NBC, CBS, ABC all reported on this during my special assignment. So I thought the only station here in Minnesota is probably KLBB that'll have this exclusive scoop.
Well, it's kind of weird how there's so much happening in the world, but one little story like this, since it's an American icon, will just bring out the flame wars on the internet and just make people angry and really have discussion about something that's completely meaningless.
I'm glad that we have the internet, because I'm thinking all these rageful people would be on the street right now. Now they're on their computers or phones. They're not taking to road rage or taking to writing letters to celebrities. They're leaving terrible answering machine messages.
They'll send you terrible messages on a post.
They're out there tweeting, hey, in the world of fast food and answering machines, we got it rough. Hey, we have a Captain Crunch commercial, right?
Yes, we do.
Let's hear it.
Attention! Smedley the Elephant will now attempt to break the track record for bike racing. For Captain Crunch's peanut butter cereal, Smedley can do almost anything. It's the honest of peanut butter cereal, a dandy part of any nutritious breakfast. Go, Smedley!
He didn't break the track record.
No, but he broke the track.
That'd be Dawes Butler, the voice of Cap'n Crunch. He sounds a little bit like Jim Backus and Johnny Olsen on Price is Right, though.
I was just thinking, he sounds so familiar to me, and I cannot
quite place
it. Thurston
Howell the Third.
Ah.
So have we learned something today? Have we learned the value of Cap'n Crunch today?
Have we determined then he is, in fact, a commander?
Because it's his own vessel, the SS Goopy.
Oh, he can be Guppy. Whatever he wants.
He can be whatever he wants. And I think if he has three stripes, he can have four fingers.
All right, sticking with Captain then.
Sticking with Captain. Okay, we have a great guest today. We have Karen Falloon, formerly of KSDP Radio TV and WCCO Radio. And we also have a surprise guest calling in today.
I literally have no idea who
this is.
You
have no idea, and Karen has no idea.
I don't.
We don't. I said, if I told you who it was, it's not a surprise guest anymore.
Even when I threatened you, you didn't tell me.
I might hang up on him. I don't know.
Karen did threaten me, but we have a lot of fun today. So we're going to talk about meteorology, storms, and everything else that's going on right now, and what Karen's been up to the last few years, because Karen has not been on radio until today. Well, you've been on NPR a little bit.
A little bit.
Let's take a break, James, Tom, and then we'll come back. Hey, it's back from vacation here. I got to get all the names right.
It has been about 3 weeks.
About 3 weeks. What are you talking about? We were live last week with Jack. What are you talking about?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was the history of Minnesota sports and coping with losing.
Well, we're used to that here.
So it was all about how we came so close, a few little stories about, you know, stuff just kind of going wrong at the last second.
How could that ever happen?
Who knew?
Okay. All right. We will be back after this break on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220.
Let's take a look at the traffic right now with
Karen Carnes.
Hour. Now for a look at some of the stories coming up.
Tom Green.
Right here in eastern Montana, getting ready to move into the western Dakotas.
Karen Falloon.
We'll check in with Georgetown.
Ed Cairo on sports. Overnight news developments and the first local news of the day. Eyewitness News Morning.
It's a great promotion from 1984. Eyewitness News Morning.
That's a long time ago.
Karen, not too long ago. Not too long ago. Karen Falloon, former KSDP and WCCO meteorologist, our guest here on Flashback Twin Cities. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for coming down to Stillwater today.
Oh, no problem. Nice city. I love being in Stillwater.
It's a great time. It's a great time. And it's dry. I know you forgot your umbrella, but we'll try to get this interview done and get all the tough questions out so you can run to your car and
all right, that
avoid the
good.
Rain. So we were talking about before the show that you are not from Florida. We want to make that very clear. You're
nope.
from Michigan.
What? Detroit.
Detroit. And you went to Florida as a child.
Yes. My father ended up working in the aerospace industry and on the manned space flights, and so he took his whole family to Orlando first, and then we moved over to the beach.
So it's kind of a change from Michigan to Florida.
Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of meteorologists come from Florida, and I'm guessing because of the hurricanes and the wind and the rain, that fascinated you, I'm guessing.
A hurricane got me hooked, mm-hmm. and when it did, my dad brought maps home, put them under plexiglass so that I could track the hurricanes. That was my job.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a hurricane pass through the city I was living in, which is Orlando, Hurricane Donna,
mm-hmm.
in 1960. And that got me hooked. Mm-hmm. After that, I was reading everything I could about the weather.
And then went to Florida State University, correct?
Yes, I did, in the meteorology department.
And now, was your idea to be in TV, or was your idea to work in the science part of meteorology?
Actually, it was more in the science part and work with the National Weather Service. And I did for a time, mm-hmm. but then the folks that worked for Hubbard mm-hmm. To find people across the country, they found me in Florida.
So you're saying Hubbard had consultants?
Hubbard had consultants, yes. But I was in the right place at the wrong time. I don't know how you want to describe it, because I went to work with a friend of mine at a television station. He says, come on, come take a look at what I do. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, they asked me if I wanted to be on TV. And I said, no, I hate the camera. Don't take a picture. And then I went home and told my dad. And my dad said, are you nuts? Yes, you want to go at least try out. At least you could say, that's more than if you go try out, then you can tell people that you tried out. And he said, that's more than most people can say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had a point. I couldn't argue that. So I ended up being on a television station in Tallahassee.
Okay. And didn't Hubbard have a station in Tallahassee? They had a station down there, I think.
Well, I don't know if there was any, connection.
Mm-hmm.
I was at WCTV in Tallahassee, and that's where they found me. And I got a call from the consultants, and they said, could you please come up and interview with us? And then I ended up coming. So Hubbard brought me up here.
And how was that? So you're in Florida to Minnesota. Now, mm-hmm. what month did you come up here?
I came in the middle of the summer.
Okay, so you didn't come
July.
So you didn't come in January when there was 3 feet of snow.
No.
Or I should say May yeah. or June, there's 3 feet of snow.
And being the meteorologist that I was, I looked up in my little, you know, all my records and books and to see what the temperatures were going mm-hmm. to be in January. And I looked at the news director who sat next to me at the desk, and I said, it's 16 degrees, average 16. He goes, oh, stop, you're whining. You'll get used to it.
Wow.
So I said, okay, I'll go give it a shot.
That's a great recruiting tool. Stop whining, you'll get used to it.
I know. But that's exactly what he said. And so I ended up coming up in July, and the day that I arrived to move to Minnesota, there were severe thunderstorms, and I ended up in the KSTP office watching behind the scenes as to what was going on when they were live on the air reporting all the warnings and the hail and whatnot.
So were you in the war room?
I was in the war room.
The war room is pretty incredible place.
Just doing the best I could to stay out of the way because things were flying back and forth.
Were you the only woman?
Yes.
How was that?
Well, it was a little different, but I was used to it because I was with the National Weather Service, and that was all men. And they eventually accepted me into the National Weather Service office.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a new situation for me, but it was getting used to all the different egos.
Right. Well, we had Lindsay Strand on a couple months ago, and she was one of the first female
yes.
political reporters, and you're working with very male politicians and very male reporters. And I've seen some promos we have on tcmedianow.com, and there's these 7-8 meteorologists, all men, and then you.
And then me.
And you know, you watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and Mary's still the one making coffee for everyone and still being everyone's mother. Did you feel there's some roles that you ended up having to take on, or were you treated as an equal of these guys?
I was an equal. Mm-hmm. However, because I was the new person,
mm-hmm.
I was the one that would get up at midnight and have to do my own makeup and my own hair mm-hmm. and then get ready for the ag program that was on at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, Ag Day.
Yes, you remember Ag Day. And I did Ag Day, and then I did the weather in the morning on television, mm-hmm. and then I alternated back and forth between KSTP AM and KSTP FM. And it was just a matter of flipping a switch on my end so that I would do all of those things by the time I finished at noon.
Wow, that's a long day.
Yeah, that's a very long day. But it was a lot of fun. And I got to work with Nap and Donuts on KS95.
And Michael Donuts just unfortunately left us about 2 months ago.
Yeah,
unfortunately passed away.
Heart.
Yeah, he was a great guy and a great radio personality who should have been on radio a lot longer than he was.
I agree.
But you were doing news radio, you're doing comedy, morning drive radio, you're doing mm-hmm. that's a lot of toggling between three different formats.
I don't know. You know, looking back on it, I think, what was I thinking? You mm-hmm. know, it's mm-hmm. just, it was 6 days a week. And I did that from 1981, 82, all the way to 1989,
mm-hmm.
before I got an offer from WCCO to come to their radio station, which I jumped at because suddenly my duties and the time on the air, I would go from 6 days a week to five.
Mm-hmm.
I would be making a little bit more money. And although I was still on the early morning show, the hours were better.
Mm-hmm. And you weren't doing weekends anymore either, were you?
Nope.
And you were
not
doing,
unless I was filling in for somebody.
Because you were doing weekends and mornings and mm-hmm. and Channel 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's play. Actually, I have a link queued up. Let's listen to July 15th, 1987. This would be a few years ago, but it's the anniversary would be on Monday.
This is KPTV, Minnesota's News Channel 5.
Live from Minnesota's News Channel, KSTP Channel 5, this is Eyewitness News Morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 15th. I'm Wendy Lubavitch, and I'm joined by Bob Bruce this morning.
Good morning, Wendy. First off, let's go up to the Weather Center, where meteorologist Karen Falloon is gathering the facts of a changing weather situation. Karen?
Oh, it's going to change a little bit. It looks like our fall-like weather over the last couple of days will give way to more midsummer-type activity. This morning, though, it's gorgeous. Partly cloudy skies. Temperatures have dropped into the mid-50s. Right now, it's 56 degrees. The dew point is 53. The relative humidity is 90%. Winds are calm, and that pressure is rising. I'll tell you about a gorgeous day today with a return to midsummer-type weather in just a few minutes.
Okay, thank you, Karen. In the news this morning, Minneapolis police shot...
There you go.
Oh, it's so funny because you and I were just talking off the air about Bob Bruce, because he's the one person that I do see regularly, although he doesn't see me. He's in Pittsburgh, or at least was last time I checked. So I see him on the air in Pittsburgh when I go visit family.
Yeah, and Bob left TV like 2 years ago.
Did he?
He's doing his own consulting firm, but that was Bob's first day as a news anchor.
Oh, that's okay.
But we went up to Karen Falloon in the weather war room to get some hard-hitting facts for the day.
Yep, I was right there in front of all that equipment.
And did you know how to use that equipment?
I did, as a matter of fact. I was by myself in the mornings most times. I won't say all the time. And so I was required to go in, and all the graphics and things that we were required to prepare, I was the one that did those things, though.
And I'm actually just getting our guest lined up here, so I'm still listening to you as we talk here. I'm not texting. But,
this is the surprise guest you absolutely refuse to tell me about.
I do refuse to tell.
At least let me know if it's a man or a woman that I'm looking for on the phone. Yeah, help a brother out.
You will know when we get to that point.
All right.
So talk to me a little bit about that move to CCO Radio. That you're with Channel 5 for a long time. That could have been an easy transition to leave a place. You had moved up here and you'd work here for a few years. And
it was tough, but I had to look at, I had a son, and I had to look at, something that was a little more sane in my life, and WCCO provided that. I went to work with Roger and Charlie over at WCCO in the morning.
Boone and Erickson. And that's, the chance to work on that show, which was, at the time, the number one radio show, morning show in local radio in the country. And in record books of...
absolutely right. Now, I have to say that I did not grow up here, and so I was not here when they were on the air together. And then, of course, I was on opposite them when I did come here to be on the air, so I never really got to listen too much. I knew who they were, just because you know these things in radio.
Mm-hmm.
I knew who they were, and I was very proud to have the opportunity I was really tickled to have the opportunity to work with them and learn from them. And I did. I learned from Charlie. I learned from Roger. Their quick wit. And I absolutely cherished the time I had with them.
That's great. Why don't we do this? Let's go for a break. Our mystery guest just confirmed that he's going to... Okay.
Oh.
It's a he.
He's narrowing it down.
He's going to call in. We'll come back with our mystery guest. And don't reveal who it is until we are on the air, okay?
All right.
And there he is. Okay, we'll go to a break on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220. Tom Osmond with my guest Karen Falloon. And is our guest ready to go?
Oh, most definitely.
Guest, are you on the air?
I am.
Karen, do you recognize this voice?
No, not by two words.
Okay. Where are you calling in from, guest?
South Florida.
Dennis.
You say Florida, and I just give it away. How are you, Karen?
I'm doing great, Dennis. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm okay.
We didn't have
I'm
enough
actually,
Floridian.
You know, I'm staring at retirement maybe about 6 years down the road, and my wife and I are still going to make a beeline for the Twin Cities.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
We didn't have enough Floridian meteorologists in studio today, so I thought we'll have one on because Dennis says he might have worked with you a little bit when you first came to KSTP.
Yes, the very first days there was Dennis Feltgen, and like I told you when we were talking about my first day at KSTP, it was severe thunderstorms. I mean, the storms were green, there was hail everywhere, there were high winds, and Dennis was on the air live.
So I have both of you on. Dennis, thank you for calling in today. You were our mystery guest. I didn't want to give it away because it's just much more fun for you to pop in, and I couldn't get him to fly up, but I got him to call in.
Darn.
But 26 years ago, on July 23rd, 1987, now is this a date both of you remember?
Mm-hmm. I do.
The Twin Cities metro area was hit with a powerful line of thunderstorms that produced tornadoes, damaging straight-line winds, and historic flooding rains.
Right, the superstorm.
That is correct. Just after 5 p.m., one of the storms produced a strong tornado in Maple Grove that destroyed 14 homes and damaged over 300 homes. In fact, there was line winds of 70 miles per hour, which cracked windows at the Care 11 station in Golden Valley.
Wow.
Dennis, you might have been there that night.
I was there that night.
And I was not on the air, but I was out in it.
You were out canoeing, or?
No, actually, a friend of mine had a retail store in Burnsville, and it was in a strip mall, and when the rains fell really hard, really fast, suddenly the water from the parking lot started washing in to the front door, so it was completely flooding the store that I was in.
We have video of Southdale Mall. It's a flood, and people are canoeing through Southdale and through Edina. It's incredible. Dennis, tell me about what you remember about that night.
Well, I remember I worked the early morning, so I had been up since about 3 o'clock already and had gone home about 10 o'clock and was actually doing work at home, and I knew all of this stuff was going to be coming in. I lived in Plymouth at the time, and I'm watching all this stuff going on, hearing the sirens come in, and then about 6:30 the phone goes off, and it's the assignment desk at Karen and says, "Come in to work. We need you."
Yes.
So I came in, and I worked with Paul Douglas through that evening, and I remember Doug and I looking at each other saying, you know, this is going to turn into a flood event really, really fast, and we better start going on the air with this thing really fast. So we did, and then about 10 o'clock, they decided, let's send Felkin out as a reporter because we're going to just stay on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to get to the airport, and we're on 494, not far from the stadium, and all the road, all the underpasses are flooded. And yet, the care photographer I was with decided, might as well let a few beacon go through this. Well, it didn't. We stalled right under the underpass, and I looked at him, and he looked at me like, okay, now what are we doing? And I said, we're going to get out of this car, is what we're going to do. So he grabbed his camera, we opened the door, and of course, all the water came in, and that was the end of that vehicle. And somehow we managed to get to the airport. So I did that story, and I remember the last line I did in the story, I'm showing video of the sprinklers going off at the international airport, and the tagline was, and despite 10 inches of rain, the sprinklers are running at Twin Cities International. Okay.
Yeah,
so that's what I remember about that. And I went home,
that.
Got 3-4 hours of sleep, and then came back and did another story for the 5 o'clock that day.
You know, we did a lot of that. We did a lot of that where we were working right around the clock and then would go home and have maybe 2 or 3 hours of sleep. There were a couple of times in snowstorms where we were sleeping on the floor rather than go home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember that part of the problem with the flooding, I mean, yes, that was a lot of rain. It was historic. But just like 3 or 4 days prior to that, there had been heavy rain. So the ground was already soaked. And so it took no time at all for this rain to collect in the below the underpasses and to flood businesses and homes.
And you guys must have worked together on a couple of these big tornadoes too, even prior to that. You must have, you know, the Orlsville tornado or the was one in 83. Dennis, wasn't there a tornado in 83 too? I'm trying to get my tornadoes right here.
What year are you talking?
There was the Roseville tornado, and that was that 81?
Well, yeah, the Roseville tornado was 81. I was at Midway Hospital with my wife. We were having twins that weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was the infamous Gene Rubin going on a year and quoting him saying, and you'll know what to do. Yeah, right, Gene.
sometimes
knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, sometimes we were just flying by the seat of our pants.
Right. Yeah. So I was out of the office for that.
Well, I'm glad you saved your wife, Dennis, and didn't go over to the station to work on Doppler for the night to show the tornado.
No. And in fact, as I remember, we had just received that Doppler radar. So when John Dooley was looking at the radar, we had the signature, but we really weren't 100% sure what we were looking at because we'd never been through that before. So when Dooley ran to the roof and could see the funnel over Edina turning black, he knew he had a touchdown, and he knew he had a Doppler signature on the radar.
Wow, you have a better memory than me, because as you're talking, as you're saying these things, I could not have remembered that on my own, but I do remember John running up to the roof and coming back down. Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
You put a Doppler in the building, and you still have to go up the roof to isn't that point something? For your tornadoes.
Hey, nothing beats a set of eyes.
No, in fact, my guests today, Dennis Felkin and Karen Falloon, both at Channel 5, and Dennis went to 11, and Karen went to CBS, CCO,
Radio.
Mm-hmm. Karen, what was your most memorable storm when you were at Channel 5? Because you were on the air, and you were doing... We're doing weekend weather, doing morning weather. Do you recall one you had to be on the air for several hours?
Right, I do. The snowstorm. It was a snowstorm.
Oh, you want to narrow that down?
Yeah, exactly. No, it was, I had just moved here, and this was my first winter, right? I told you I came in the summer. And so, yes, having come from Florida, I was used to severe storms. I understood those. That mm-hmm. was no big deal to me. Been mm-hmm. through hurricanes, not a big deal. But when I got to the snowstorm, I hadn't seen snow since I was little. And so driving around, learning to drive around in a snowstorm. And I think we had back-to-back storms. And I remember that it was something like February or maybe even early March when we just...
Was this 82, Karen?
Yes.
Or no, 83.
83. Yes.
Oh, yes.
And
yes, I know exactly what storm you're talking about. Yes.
I had a little Datsun hatchback.
Perfect.
You know, that was really not made for the snow. And the snow would collect in the wheel wells, and I could hear it scraping on the tires. So I got out of my car and was kicking the wheel wells. And, of course, from inside the building, it looked like I was swearing at my car. And so I'd never lived that down. But then just driving home after being on the air and not being able to get down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I just sort of left my vehicle at the end of a street in a parking lot at a church and walked the rest of the way. And I fell asleep sitting up on the couch once I got home.
I'm asking both of you this. At any point did you think, what am I doing here? I was in this very happy little world of Florida. Hey, sure, we have a hurricane once in a while, but now I'm walking through weather.
No, you want to know, I have to say that moving to Minnesota just... made me feel better. I have to tell you that, you know, Florida, my whole family's in Florida. It's a nice place to visit, but I don't want to live there.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have anything to do with the weather, although I'm not a big fan of hot temperatures, I got to tell you, or humidity, which they have a lot of. But I missed the change in the seasons. And when I moved back to Minnesota, I thought, oh, this is what I'm missing. This is what has been so wrong. I mean, it was just wrong to have to wear shorts at Christmas in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people don't think so, but I do.
Dennis is now offended. Now he's just
sorry, Dennis.
Clicked off.
Oh no, I'm sitting here nodding, and everything you're saying, Karen, from a professional point of view, the Twin Cities weather is a paradise. I mean, meteorology, you've got everything up there, and from a personal perspective, there Minnesota mm-hmm. nights exist.
Yes,
and in all frankness, I really miss that and can't wait to go back to it.
And there's just something wrong about Christmas lights on a palm tree.
Oh, yeah. I hate doing that.
You know, as a lifelong Minnesotan, I don't know. I think I might be able to try it out for a few years, but I'll take you guys' word for it. My guests, Karen Falloon and Dennis Felkin, let's play a little audio from July 24th, the day after the big storm. And go ahead, Tom, I'm going to keep it up.
Meteorologist Sally Patrick.
There it is. The skyline in the daylight shows that we are still standing. This after one of the longest, toughest, meanest nights in Minnesota history. A night tormented with torrential rains, massive flooding, mudslides, and devastating tornadoes. From Sky 11 right now, the pictures tell the story. We'll be spending much of the day, indeed much of the next several days, mopping up, boarding up, picking up the pieces after a record-shattering storm that made this night really a living nightmare that we won't soon forget.
Good morning, and welcome to this special edition of Sunrise. And a welcome morning it is for many folks who spent the night trying to survive the storm.
The worst is now over. Sally Patrick will be along later with an update as part of our complete expanded storm coverage. But first, a look at the night that we had to get through.
We managed to survive the heaviest downpour in Twin Cities history. 10 inches in 7 hours, the official count out at the airport. The old record goes back to the last century, and we beat that by 3 inches. We also managed to survive at least 6 confirmed tornado sightings last night in Maple Grove, Brooklyn Park, Energy Park, 101st and Regent, Long Lake, and north of KSTP-TV on the Hennepin-Ramsey County line. There were also 2 unconfirmed sightings in the Southwest metro area, in Edina and at Flying Cloud Airport.
Now, torrential rains may have killed one South Minneapolis man. Police fear the worst for the man.
What's with the tornadoes always going over to KSDP studios? This is the second tornado we've heard that just kind of flies over the Channel 5 studios.
Well,
it's the Doppler effect.
That's got to be it. Well, it certainly throws cold water on the idea that tornadoes never hit downtowns.
Mm-hmm. Well, in North Minneapolis, we dispelled that myth about 3 years ago.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. Florida, you don't get too many tornadoes in Florida, do you, Dennis?
Actually, Florida ranks about number 3 or number 4 nationally.
Shows what
every
I know.
Year. Yeah, we get a lot of the EF0s and EF1s that come during the summertime. And our big, you know, the big ones, the 2s and the 3s, are typically in February and March.
And there's a lot of lightning. I think Florida is the lightning capital of the world.
We are, and in fact, I've got it going on outside the window right now.
Are a lot of those tornadoes along the panhandle, or are they a little further down in Florida?
They're actually all over. The bigger ones tend to be a little farther to the north, up in central and northern Florida, where you get more of an atmospheric differential in the temperature and the upper air support. It's really tough to get a long track tornado in South Florida. Generally, they only go about a mile or two at best.
Now, what's more, both of you guys, what's more fascinating to report on? Blizzards, hurricanes, or tornadoes? I mean, the severe storms. I hate to say hurricanes because I know that's like your whole livelihood's at stake when you have to board up your house. But
but the hurricane is usually coming for some time. You've got time to prepare for it. Mm-hmm. You've got time to think about it and where you need to be and what you need to do. And they're fascinating. I mean, because they hold everything: the heavy rain, the lightning, the tornadoes. It holds everything.
Mm-hmm.
With tornadoes, you don't have time to think. Even as a meteorologist, the first thing at the top of your mind is you've got to save lives, and you've got to get on the air and give as accurate a report as possible. And you only have a few precious seconds to do that before somebody is hurt. So I think the immediacy of the tornadoes is a little that your adrenaline is up and you're on the air and you don't even think about it. Whereas hurricanes, you have time to watch them roll in. You have time for the storm surge. You have time to watch all this happen in slow motion.
Mm-hmm. And in Minnesota, you know, we're used to storms. They come, they slam, and they're gone. In the summer, actually, Dennis, I'm not sure if you kept up with our weather this summer. We've had a lot of rain, a lot of flash, you know, small flash
flooding.
Like last
night.
Like last night. We had 3 inches last night?
3 to 5 inches. There are some people that in the South Metro that may even be reporting 6 or 7 inches.
Wow.
Just from like 3 o'clock in the morning until 7. What? So it fell very fast.
Went from drought for 3 years to this.
Yes.
I have one more clip I want to play for both of you guys while I have you out on the air here. This is one of my favorite commercials. We play it all the time here, but it's just so fantastically good that I have to keep playing it.
When Minnesota's news team gets together, it doesn't matter what they do. They go at it with the same kind of energy and enthusiasm that's in their news.
We're in it all the way together. Living it every day together. Keep can't wait to show you. We're the team.
So even when they're just having a good time, they do it with style. Not because they have to, because it's the only way they know. For some people, the satisfaction has to come from within. They know that playing hard is the other side of working hard.
We're the team.
Come to the Eyewitness News Team.
Can't wait to show you.
At 5, 6, and the update at 10.
We're the team.
The news specialists on Channel 5.
Dennis, I wish you could see Karen's face in here as we're watching this video.
Is it the winter or the summer one?
That's the winter one.
Oh, we have all three up.
God, that was fun doing that.
That was a fun day.
How many hours of taping was that to do those commercials? I'm looking at this sledding one. That had been... Because it goes from daytime to evening. That's a long time to be out of town and country.
Yeah, they had us there, Karen. They had us there, what, about 7:30 in the morning?
Yes, 7:30.
And we didn't get out till like 10 o'clock that night. And they had the bright idea that they were going to do this over 2 days. And we looked at them and said, oh, no, you're not. So we got it done in 1 day.
Now, my only question is, now, what happens when the news is going on when the whole team is sledding for a day? Where's all this crimes going on in town? Who's reporting on it?
Cardboard cutouts.
Oh, okay.
We recorded it.
No, this is...
Yeah, let's record it.
If you go to,
how do they know?
Yeah.
If you go to tcmedianow.com, you can see Karen and Dennis play with the Twins at the Metrodome, or you can see them play football, make a big sandwich. Turner, our noon host, does not like these commercials, so I can't play him on his show. I think he's tired of seeing it. I think he's seen it about 500 times.
But he has such a good reaction when he's, like, clapping
and
all happy.
I think when I rediscovered this and I started playing it for him all the time, that's when he runs away when I play it, so... Dennis, thank you for popping on today. I hope it was not too much of a challenge to come up and talk to Karen and me for talking about the Superstorm. And
oh, this was terrific. Thanks so much for the opportunity. And Karen, so good to hear your voice again.
Good to hear you, too. You'll have, when you get back to Minnesota, you'll have to give me a call.
Oh, plan on it.
Thanks, Dennis.
Bye-bye.
Mr. Guest, Dennis Falcon.
Oh, that's so nice.
So, Karen, let's talk a little bit about, I don't want to talk about your move to CC over on Dennis because that might be kind of boring for him. But you went to CCO Radio,
mm-hmm.
and you told me a story right before we went on the air. And it's a clean story for our audience.
Yes.
But it involves, we have a voiceover. Tom played a voiceover of Bud Kraling, who's in the club, 1220. And Karen's first day at CCO Radio, she met Bud Kraling.
I did. Keep in mind that the radio meteorologists and the TV meteorologists were all in one place, and that was over in the TV building. So they had a microphone set up in a little closet that you could actually go on the air. So it was convenient because that's where all the equipment and all the weather information was coming into, was mm-hmm. the TV office. So I was there in the TV building for that very first day, and I got there early enough in the morning. It was probably 8 or 9 o'clock, and Bud was supposed to come in at about 10:30, but it started storming. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, some hail and high winds and downpours, and he came in. He had his umbrella next to him, and he was just dripping wet. I mean, and he had a raincoat on that only went to his knees.
Mm-hmm.
So from his knees down, his pant legs and his shoes and socks were just squishing. And he goes, and it's cold in the studio. Well, I can't have these on. So he went into an office and came back out, and he had his shorts. He had his suit coat on, but he had his shorts. And he's running around while his pants are drying on the back of a chair. So that was my very first day that I ever met Bud Kraling.
All I could say is, I plan on doing that often.
The show must go on. And, you know, when you're a meteorologist, you can't sit behind the desk the whole time. You actually have to go up to that map and start pointing things out. You know?
Exactly.
Bud has a lot of pressure on him. He can't just go put on some gym shorts and sit behind the desk. And
right, not like the anchors used mm-hmm, to. Mm-hmm. No, you had to be. And, of course, when I was when I was on the air, when I was with KSDP on the air, women weren't supposed to wear pants. Oh. So you always say skirt or a dress. That was the code.
You know, we have the joke now in cultures, the Mad Men days of the 60s. No, that was like the 80s and 90s still. Yeah. This stuff was going on.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And then when I moved over to radio, I could wear a sweatshirt and jeans. They didn't care if I came in my running shoes and sweats. It didn't make any difference. You know, as long as I showed up and I was doing the radio on, you know, and giving the weather with Roger and Charlie, I was fine.
Mm-hmm. And you did that for 10 years.
I did.
Almost 10 years.
Well, 1989 to 2003. So I was at WCCO for 14 years.
Worked with Boone and Erickson, Steve mm-hmm. Cannon.
Yes, I did.
And how was that? Because, you know, Steve didn't always appreciate guests in the studio or people in
He never had guests in the studio. Mm-hmm. That was a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they put him in either another studio, but nobody was allowed in the studio with him because he had all of these different characters and all these different voices, and if you listened long enough, it actually sounded like those characters were stepping on each other's lines.
Well, you know, Calvin Griffith, the owner of the Twins, you know, he did call up upset with Ed Morgan Mundane for making too many remarks. And I think he talked to Steve Cannon personally, told him, get him off your show. He's making too many disparaging remarks.
Yeah.
It's illusion of the mind. Did you watch him do these voices? Or you weren't allowed to see him, were you?
He preferred that you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because, like I said, I was allowed to come in sweatshirts and jeans. So the day that we went to a friend's wedding, he looked at me and he goes, oh, you clean up good. You
know, no,
it's the first time he had seen me in a dress.
So were you taking just total advantage of this and showing up in like pajamas? You got some slippers on?
Oh, yeah. I would.
I had big Snoopy slippers that I ran around the office in.
That's a success.
I think we might need that photo on the Facebook page for Flashback Twin Cities when you find that, Karen. Let's bring that over here.
Okay, I will.
Picture you in the Snoopy slippers. Our guest, Karen Falloon. And you were at CCO Radio for 14 years, and then you went on to something bigger and better. You were telling me you got your degree in...
I did. I it took me a while, but I got my degree in landscape design and horticulture.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they came through and axed half of every department, I was one of the ones let go. And I just said, okay, moving on. You know, I've got my degree. I went to work with a landscape design build company. And now, in fact, I started it as a designer at Southview Design in Embry Grove Heights. And now I'm their marketing and new business development person. So, you know, it's evolving all the time.
Mm-hmm. Has the background of radio and TV been part of your success in your new role?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it has, because it really does take an outgoing person, somebody mm-hmm. who's willing to go up to somebody at a networking event and or a charity event and not knowing them, but introducing yourself or speaking in front of a group or any of those things that require you to be on stage, so to speak. And not everybody can do that.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because I was watching some news not too long ago, and the people who are really getting good jobs are ex-cheerleaders. People who could go out in front of a crowd.
And they aren't afraid to...
Not afraid at all.
Right. Yeah. It makes a huge difference. So, yeah, speaking gigs are good.
And meteorology also is helping what you do, too, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're working for a company that a lot of it's based on good weather.
Well, it is. And even though we don't plow snow, mm-hmm. you know, we have landscape crews out there every single day in the elements, whether it's heat or whether it's colder temperatures or whether it's severe storms. They need to know where they are and how long it's going to last. Should they stay where they are, or should they come in and call it a day?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to save money when you're a landscape design build company.
And do you miss the TV radio business at all?
I have to say no. I really don't.
And that's okay. We're looking for honest answers here. Outside of TV, you were telling me before you didn't really care for the TV part of it, the pictures on your face and being on air and being that pressure.
I still don't like my picture taken.
Now, we haven't insulted you by showing some old video yet, have we?
No, not at all.
But you prefer radio to TV, and not only the kind of work-life balance, but also just the ability to be able to, not have to do the makeup, not have to do the pressure of the lights. And
right. There's less pressure, and it's so much more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Television is very structured, and when mm-hmm. you're told you have 2 minutes in front of the camera, then you better fill that 2 minutes. And there have been people who just say, okay, I don't have anything else to say, and there's still 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you can't do that in radio and television.
What happens when that occurs? Does it just throw off the entire show, or does someone else make up the time for
somebody
it?
Else jumps in, usually. Somebody else jumps in and either asks a question or repeats, does a tease, or, you know, they can fill the time.
They have stuff on standby just in case. Ah.
Do you find yourself still kind of trying to predict the weather one step ahead of the weather sometimes?
I do. I look at the weather every day and several times a day. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can take the girl out of radio and television meteorology, but you can't take the meteorology out of the girl.
Mm-hmm. I totally heard that.
I will never, you know, it's a passion. It mm-hmm. always has been since I was in that hurricane mm-hmm. on my birthday. That
wow.
was impressive to me. So that's...
How old were you?
I was, let's see. I was 7.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
9? I can't remember.
Karen Falloon, our guest today. Karen, tell me, now when you were on radio TV and that you were very visible, did people come up to you at the store and say, you know, we were wrong about the weather last night. What were you thinking?
Yeah. Actually, yes. And they'd want an explanation, which I could give them, and we'd have a nice chat.
Or blame you for bad weather.
Or blame me for bad weather. Boy, do I still get that. So...
Well, it's amazing that you have the powers of weather and time here, as you sit with us. I always enjoy that. I remember being at the State Fair one year, and Dave Dahl, one of your former colleagues there. And I remember people walking by him and just complaining about the hot weather and what are you going to do for us?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we could do anything. And people would always say that, is it hot enough for you? Well, you know, that's such an old joke. You know, put it to bed.
Wow. Yeah, I love when they do that on the radio, too, when callers would call in and say, is it cold enough for you, warm enough for you,
right,
wet enough for you? Tom, there's a clip I want to play, and this is from July 18th, 1986. It's on the very good. This is a weather event you might not, you weren't not, not have been on the air for, but it's going to turn 27 next week.
Of course, with this breaking news story, we will continue to be updating you right through the 5 and 6 o'clock newscasts. We'll keep you posted as conditions warrant, which is going to be for at least the next 1 to 2 hours. A dangerous situation. Stay tuned for more updates.
Go ahead and scroll a little bit in the middle of that clip. Yeah, there you go.
And, it's just a matter of time before it touched on again here, so I'm going to stay in the area and see what happens.
Matt, yeah, please stay in the area. Obviously, Max, the question we have for you, what area are you in at this given moment?
I know you would ask me some embarrassing questions here. Unfortunately, I've been watching the tornado instead of where I'm going.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep your eyes on the tornado.
I'll let you know in just a second. Hold on.
It does look like the friendly area.
Yeah, it seems to be not a residential area, but more industrial based.
We have a report of a second tornado west of 106.
And if you didn't gather, this was the famous July 18th, 1986 tornado.
I remember.
Caught by Channel 11. You might have been of Channel 5, but you guys might have been watching Channel 11 that night.
I actually, I had just gotten off of work, and it was in the afternoon, later part of the afternoon, mm-hmm. and I had turned on the television because my weather radio went off, and I was watching. I happened to watch Channel 11 that day because they had that tornado live, mm-hmm. and I kept sitting there thinking, oh, my God, he's in a helicopter, and he's that close. And I was worried that something was going to happen, and we were going to see something awful on TV. But I do remember that. In fact, I got a copy of that video, mm-hmm. and I have that at home. That's probably one of the only pieces of video that I have.
I don't know we're going to get Karen's video, which she has none of, but that video actually is one of the most watched videos on TCMediaNow.com. You can watch that full length of the July 18th, 1986 video, Live Tornado. That had been just fascinating and thrilling and scary all at the same time. To watch that from knowing what you know, us watching it, we're scared because this tornado is in Ramsey County. That's where I was
and
at.
And it wasn't moving much, but we actually picked this apart really good mm-hmm. After it was over and we all got to watch. Mm-hmm. We were watching the rotation mm-hmm. of the tornado and how it was picking up debris, picking up trees. And so, yeah, we were studying it for quite a while after.
There's an unconfirmed rumor that another station was going to send their chopper up, but the pilot was like, not doing it. No thanks.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah, I heard the same thing.
But it was a tornado made for TV because it stood there the whole time for a half hour. It didn't diminish until after the 5:30 news was done. So it was a tornado that launched at 5 o'clock and was done at 5:30. Just and Channel 11
for your convenience
and Channel 11 and Paul Douglas might have benefited a little bit from the tornado. And
oh, I think so.
No one was killed. There was no casualties.
No, the Nature Center, because it was tearing up the Nature Center, the trees mm-hmm. and the plants and the shrubs and everything. So, yeah, it was fortunate that it wasn't, 5 miles farther south.
Mm-hmm. Well, Karen, do you have any message for people that are wondering what you're up to and wondering why you're not on TV, or any message for the audience out there that...
You know, it's funny. People do ask me, why it's such a... major change in your mm-hmm. career to go from TV and radio meteorology to what you're doing now, which mm-hmm. was working outside, installing designs. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that it's all connected. I was outside then and I'm outside now. It's all about the climate.
And you take your education with you, and the education you learned through TV and radio and formal education, and it's been successful for you.
It absolutely has. I'm very fortunate.
Well, thanks for being on today, and hopefully we will do this again.
Okay.
It's been great, and keep an eye out for the storms as we go out through the week, and with luck, Tom and Tom will be here next week.
Gosh, I hope so.
Flashback Twin Cities, KLDB, Club 1220. We'll see you next week.